music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
We welcome Emmy Award-winning actor Alec Baldwin talking about if he wants to take over late-night television and if he loves his infamous SNL skit, Sweaty Balls, as much as we all do. Up next is Grammy-nominated singer Tamia talking about balancing her recording career with being a full-time mom, as well as her brand new album, Love Life. Celebrity trainer Tony Martinez talks about getting fit for summer, and rising talent Jocelyn Alice chats about her catchy track, Jackpot. We wrap things up with Chief Privacy Officer of McAfee, Michelle Dennehy, discussing online privacy issues. It's a real honor, pleasure, and joy to welcome our next guest to the show. He's an Emmy Award-winning actor. You've seen him on stage, on screen, and in commercials, the one and only Alec Baldwin. Alec was actually in town for a creativity and commerce conference in Montreal, and we were very fortunate to grab a couple of moments with him, and we'll let him take it from here. He had a lot of fun making fun of me.
You're about to see some pioneering surgery where we remove a 6+ from Kelly's... Oop. We're out of time.
That's exactly it. C2 Montreal, what's the main message you want people to walk away from? Because you are going to have a pin drop when you're talking.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. But as I've said countless times, it's all these things, it's a marriage of business and creativity. Mm-hmm. And I come from the creative side, if you will. But I've learned over the years to have more of an acknowledgement of and an understanding of the business side. And how you got to be very careful what you do with the money. And at the same time, the people who have the money have to be very careful about what they do with the creative. And I wouldn't say it's a battle, but it's an issue. It's a negotiation all the time to make sure that, you know, what's coming out on TV is as good as it can be, the ones that you're involved with, and that you have a chance to be true to who you are. We've all seen many, many times, like let's say you're a filmmaker, mm-hmm. and you have a film you wrote and you're going to direct the film, and they budget the film even very, very cautiously, and they say to you the film is going to cost $3 million. And the people that you're working with say, that's tough to raise that amount of money, but we think we can do it. And then you go off and you commit to make the film. Then they come back to you and they say, we can only raise $1.9 million. And they start to talk to you about the things you're going to remove from your film. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, is it your film anymore? The film you promised yourself you were going to make. That's a very difficult challenge that people face. How do you stay true to yourself creatively? And I think that's a big issue.
What gets Alec Baldwin out of bed in the morning? Because apart from your family, like what is still making the fire burn?
Well, I'm going to do we have a pilot we're going to shoot this fall. The script is being delivered hopefully in the next couple of days for a television series for me to do for HBO in New York. And hopefully if we get lucky, we'll do the show as a series for HBO. And that's exciting to me because I've always wanted to work for HBO. I'm very admiring of them and what they've done. They've been such a juggernaut back in the around the world now, and I love so many of their shows and admire the people who work there. So that's hopefully the thing I'm going to be doing next.
You were on Letterman's last show. You also wrote an article about him. Would you ever want to take over late night? Because I feel like he's left a good place for you to go.
Well, he's got somebody there.
I know, but there's a room there for you, I feel.
I don't know. I mean, you know something? There was a time when I wanted to do a show like that,
okay,
mostly to stay home with my family. You know, because those guys work hard and they're very talented, but they got a pretty easy schedule.
Last question for you.
Yeah.
Do you love the Sweaty Ball skit as much as we all do? I've always wanted to ask you that.
I think it's obvious that I love it a little less than you do. I love it just a little bit less than you.
Perfect. So it was great.
So go ahead and say it. You love what?
Sweaty Balls.
More than I do.
It's true.
There we go.
Alec, thank you.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show. Like us on Facebook. Kelly Alexander Show.
Joining us on the show is 6-time Grammy-nominated R&B artist Tamia. Tamia hails from Canada but made the jump to the U.S. to pursue her musical career, which has turned out to be very successful. We're happy to welcome her to the show, talking about her new single, Sandwich and a Soda, and her brand new album, Love Life. Tamia, thanks for joining us on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So can we start off by talking about the fact that you did get your start in Canada before heading to the U.S., but how did that transition happen? How did you decide to make the jump and leave sort of the home and native land?
It's like a short story, but there was a series of events where I had tried out for a YTV talent search, which was, all over Canada. And I guess it was kind of a little bit like a American Idol or something before it was before its time. And I ended up winning that. And then I think David Foster had seen me, and he was doing, David Foster is also a fellow Canadian producer. He did Bodyguard and all of the most amazing songs that you know, he's probably produced them. And he was looking for someone to sing I Will Always Love You for, at that time, Ryan Mulroney, who was the prime minister, was leaving, and they were going to televise it. And so I sang I'll Always Love You, televised, and someone from Warner Brothers in California had seen that video, and that's how I ended up in California, in the States.
Wow, that's amazing. And then how did your relationship start with Quincy Jones?
So then I was on Warner Brothers, and Quincy was looking for someone to sing this song that Rod Shepperton had written called You Put a Move on My Heart. And I went in there, and I sang the song, and really what you hear on the song was actually my audition. And so I sang that. He made that the first single, and I got to tour the world with him.
That's amazing. Now, I wanted to ask you, before we talk about your new music, because I would consider you a true R&B artist. Like, I know that a lot in the past of, you know, people sort of start out there, and then because of the shifting times, they may change and do a little bit more, like, dance or EDM to sort of keep things happening. But I feel like you have stayed true to your roots. I wanted to ask you, because I feel there's a definite switch between the R&B that we heard in the 90s and the early 2000s as opposed to what's being produced now, except for, like, kind of you. Like, I think you've sort of stayed really true to your roots. What do you feel is the current state of R&B, and do you think it will find its heyday again?
Well, you know, I think R&B is sort of, it's rooted in so many different genres of music that it always has its roots. But I think, you know, music tends to be very cyclical, and it's certainly, you know, coming back. And, you know, maybe because it isn't as flashy, it's very kind of soulful, that for whatever reason, it was kind of on the back burner a little bit. But I do think that it's you know, there's some good R&B out there.
Can you talk to us about who influenced you when you were coming up? Like, which singers you listen to and you think have found their way a little bit into the sound that you create?
Well, you know, the great thing about growing up in Canada musically was I feel like I was very well-rounded. We listened to everything. It wasn't just about, like, soul music or country music or pop music. It was all music. So I grew up listening to everyone from the Judds to George Michael to Dixie Chicks, obviously, and obviously Whitney Houston. And because I was right across the border from Detroit, you know, all the Motown stuff. And I think I'm still very influenced by that sort of, you know, even though I'm very rooted in R&B, there's still some things that I do vocally and songs that I'm drawn to that, you know, can sometimes lend themselves to a different sort of sound.
So talk to us about the new single, Sandwich in a Soda. First of all, it's awesome. I love it. How did it come about? And do you feel like you knew right away that that should be a single? Because I'm always interested to know when an artist knows that they should release that song.
I'll say it's always a guessing game, what singles. But for me, I love the song because it was so beautiful. And I certainly have songs in my repertoire that are very deep and very, you know, I call them singer songs. So they're songs that, you know, if you're a singer, you will sing these songs. But I think that it's also important to be well-rounded as a vocalist and as an artist. And when I heard Sandwich in a Soda, I just loved how playful it was. You know, I'm still singing on the song. Like, I'm going to perform it next week, and it's just going to be acoustic. And I love doing stuff like that. And the song will take on a whole nother different vibe from that. So I think that it's important that you just try new things. And as far as picking the single, I wanted to come out having fun. I wanted to come out and have a good time and show people that this album is called Love Life. It's about having fun, and it's a love album. All the songs are love songs, but it's about loving life, and I think that song was, you know, represented that.
I find the first single, it kind of is, it's like reminiscent to me of like the 2015 version of Janet's That's the Way Love Goes. Like, it's just like fun and catchy.
Oh yeah, I love, exactly.
Nice. Yeah. And I have to ask you, actually, speaking of Janet, she's announced that she's coming back. What do you feel that will mean to the R&B pop industry to have, you know, a legend like her come back?
I think that it's great. I think that we need to support artists like Janet Jackson. You know, she's an icon in the music business, and she should always have a place to perform and always have a contract to do another album. Always. Just like Barbara Streisand.
Nice.
She'd always have a, you know, she always has a standing, you know, a standing contract, and she should always have a room and a place where people are begging her to perform. Janet as well, and people like Aretha and Chaka Khan, and of course Mariah is now doing Vegas as well. So that's, they deserve that.
Joining us on the show is six-time Grammy-nominated artist Tamia. Make sure to check out her website, tamiaworld.com. Tamia, do you find that it's a challenge in this day and age, like in 2015, to actually release an album? Because it almost seems like it's a singles market.
Oh, it's definitely a singles market. Yes, absolutely. The thing that I have going for me is that, fortunately, I came out at a time where people were buying albums. And a lot of those people who bought my previous album still buy my new stuff as well. So the industry has certainly become very single driven and very, you know, we consume things very quickly. We consume them and we move on. And unfortunately, that doesn't do very well for an artist and who's trying to develop a career. But fortunately, I came out at a time where, you know, this is now my sixth album. So, you know, even though you're always trying to gain new people and expose your music to new people, I still try and always stay true to myself and true to the music that the people who have supported me over the years love.
Is it challenging for you, Tamia, to balance your recording career with being a mom to two young girls? I know you have like fairly young daughters. I know one's a preteen and then one's under 10. Is it hard to do both?
It isn't easy. I think you just heard like 5 minutes ago, the dog was barking and all this stuff. I mean, I try my best. Okay. But you know, inevitably something happens and it starts to bark. Yes. You know, it's certainly a juggling act, but you know, I also think that it's important for my children to see, you know, when you have passion and you're passionate about something, you know, that it's great. I love it. I love it 99.9% of the time. You know, there are times where the business aspect gets a little tiring or where, you know, maybe I'm a little tired or something like that, but there's always work and you always have to push through it. But I'm doing something that I love and I feel very grateful for that.
Has it been challenging as well? Or just again, like another journey part of your life with regards to the fact that you are married to former NBAer Grant Hill? Obviously, he's been on several different teams. I'm sure you guys moved around a lot. Was it hard because you both have such high profile careers and to sort of each take the lead, I suppose, every now and again?
No, I think we both are very supportive with each other. We understand what it takes in order to do what we need to do to make certain things happen. I think we're very fortunate actually to have each other and so that we both understand, you know, all that it takes, and we try and do our best in sort of tag teaming on certain things and working together when possible. And the great thing for me is that he loves music too. So anytime he can be around the music, he's there.
And last question before I let you go, what do you want people to take away from Love Life, like the album? Like, is there like a main theme, a main point? What do you want people to know about this new album of yours?
Well, I really want them to know that in this place, in celebrating 20 years in the music business and having this sixth album, that I'm definitely loving life. I definitely am in a good place musically and just who I am as a woman, obviously growing up and being older and having more confidence in who I am as a woman and as a businesswoman as well and in the music business and things like that. Hopefully they'll be able to see that. And Love Life is really just about loving life. And so I hope they get that from this album.
Tamia, you're a rock star. Thank you so much for spending time with us. We're so proud
Thank
of you,
you
for everything you've done.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
That's six-time Grammy-nominated artist Tamia. Make sure to check out her website, tamiaworld.com.
Hey, this is Tamia, and you're hanging out on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Spend the night. That's what I'm talking about, boy. I'm just saying. And I ain't playing. It ain't like that with me when we be laying. Up. Let me love you. You're looking tired of these basic levels. I don't know the sound. level. You got the highest, you don't have to settle. See, I'm the type of girl to kill to love you down. Like, you can be the king and I'll bring you your crown. Like, shimmy, shimmy, cocoa puff, shimmy, shimmy, plow. Like, me and you on the ground, baby, now. If you wanna ride these curves, hop in your Chevy Nova. And if you're gonna drive with nerve, baby, I'm gonna be your chauffeur. See, I can make you feel good. And when it's all over, I'ma fluff your pillow, baby. Bring you a sandwich and a soda. Be my lover. I dig you hard like a metal shovel. They don't shine, I could be your gold. You had okay, let me give you better. Set, give you back. See, I'm the type of girl to kill to love you down. Like, you can be the king and I'll bring you your crown. Like, shimmy, shimmy, cocoa puff, shimmy, shimmy, plow. Like, me and you on the ground, baby, now. If you wanna ride these curves, hop in your Chevy Nova. And if you wanna drive with nerve, baby, I'm gonna be bring you a sandwich and a soda.
On Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Click on KellyAlexanderShow.com.
It's always a lot of fun to have our next guest on the show. He's an amazing fitness trainer who works with the likes of Britney Spears, Jenna Dewan Tatum, the Jonas Brothers, Pink, as well as his longstanding relationship with the one and only Janet Jackson. You can learn all about him on his website, TrainerTonyMartinez.com. Tony, welcome back to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Well, thank you, Kelly, for having me on.
So, Tony, you know, we always love to have you on, especially it seems as we change the seasons. We sort of like to get a refresher about, you know, what people should be doing exercise-wise. And for a lot of people around the world right now, summer is just about to kick into high gear. And I wanted to start off, I guess, by asking about people who may have been, you know, fairly sedentary over the winter and spring, especially if they lived in areas where there's, you know, a lot of snow and they don't really get out too much. How should they ease into getting ready for summer?
Well, the first thing is to be patient, okay? Don't go too crazy. Be consistent in your workout and stay focused, and it's not going to happen overnight. That's another thing right away. So just remember, you are what you eat, and we want to hit every muscle group to have fun. We just want to have fun. That's the main thing, is always have fun in your workout.
Now, what do you say to kids that, you know, are going to be leaving school soon? Because I know at least in school, even though they might not have gym every day, there's usually some sort of physical activity that they're doing. And maybe when they head into summer, even though the weather's nice, they might, you know, be stuck inside or they don't have the, you know, supervision to go and run around like they would at school. What do you say to parents with regards to kids and summer fitness?
You know, in summer fitness, we want to achieve, I call it the perfect balance, you know. If we can go outside on a gorgeous day, we can go on a hike or we can do ride our bike. Or if they're stuck inside, just to mix it up, maybe they do some strength training as well, too. Anything with your resistance bands while building your core, targeting more your core. The thing is, it's just keeping these kids active, tricking them. You know, if you use the word trickeration a lot, just trick them into having fun, you know, getting maybe I call it those leader of Pepsi bottles are empty, filled with a little bit of water. You get a tennis ball, and the comics are bowling. So anytime you can knock it down, but we have to knock it down and come back and get the tennis ball and do it again over and over. Just make some games out of it. I mean, have some fun.
What are your expectations for teenagers? You know, again, because they're often ones that would want to be on their smartphones rather than maybe going up and down a set of flight of stairs.
I know, right? That's the funny thing right there, the smartphone. But nowadays, you know, they have all these things, you know, these apps on there are to basically learn how to work out. The thing is with them is since they're always on their phones, as long as they're moving, that's the thing, because, you know, they're always on their computer or they're talking to their friends on you know, texting, whatever. Just keep moving, keep just being active. That's the main thing, just being active.
And how should parents set an example for their kids and even, you know, for each other about getting into shape for the summer months, especially, again, if they've been a bit sedentary over the winter? Because I think it's really easy for people to say, oh, it's not nice outside, I'll deal with it, you know, in the spring and summer.
Well, you always hear this, you know, there's always excuses. There's no time, I'm tired, I don't know where to start, it's always too expensive, you know, little things like that. You just have to make a goal. You have to, you know, set a time. So this is what I want to do. I want to do this, make a realistic goal. This is what I'm going to do here. Maybe even with the kids, you can all do it as a family thing together. Work out with your kids. It could be, you know, playing soccer, going, you know, ice skating, you know, doing anything active again as well. I keep saying that word active, lifestyle, just to keep changing up, because that's the whole thing. And at the same time, is maybe we all cook together. We eat a little bit better. So we eat healthier things as well, too.
Joining us on the show is our good friend and celebrity fitness trainer, Tony Martinez, who has worked with the likes of Britney Spears and Pink and Janet Jackson. Make sure to check out his website, trainertonymartinez.com. And you can also follow him on Twitter, @TrainerTony. Tony, do you encourage families to work out as a unit?
I do. And the thing is with me, I always say smart nutrition is half the battle. So right there alone, you know, all everybody together, you know, you eat better, you eat the proper foods, and you get, you know, more lean proteins, good carbs, and good fats. And the other thing is, by the nutrition is the most important component for fat loss, which people, you know, I hope they realize that it decreases body fat so that you see, you know, a little more definition in your stomach area, your abs.
Now, you were speaking a little bit earlier about, you know, apps on phones, and you know, there's so many apps, it seems like, about, you know, staying in shape. I know a lot of people use the Fitbit. What's your take on those things, Tony? Do they really help, like, you know, if you use them properly, or is it just another excuse to get a little device that you're not going to use?
Well, the thing is, it's, you have to see what's best for you. Fortunately, you're the guinea pig. You have to see what works. Some things might work on you, might work on your buddy right next to you or your friend next to you. You just have to be patient. Again, keep patient. And, you know, hopefully if they don't work, you know, if anything, have friends that are active so that you can be with them so that, you know, you get that, you know, encouragement a little bit more. Be hang around other people that are doing certain things like kayaking or water skiing, you know, maybe you want to do the same thing, just being active as they are as well.
Can you talk to us about the importance of water with regards to, you know, exercise and also just on a daily basis? Because I, you know, I personally have been reading up a little bit more lately about, you know, just how much water you should be having. And it just seems like a lot of people take it for granted and probably are dehydrated a lot of the time.
We are. And actually, you know, I actually fall in that category, too. I don't drink enough water as well, too. And you're supposed to drink, you know, in between 64 ounces a day, which is basically 8 ounces a day. And it's hard because, you know, you don't think about it. You just don't think about it because you're always, you know, either having something else, either, you know, a juice or a sports drink or anything else. Water is such a big component because it hydrates you as well. So it helps you from not cramping up, helps you feel full longer as well, too. So you're not, you don't feel as hungry as well.
I wanted to ask you, you know, a little bit about celebrity training and how you keep your celebrity clients motivated. Because, you know, for us regular folk, Joe Public, when we see these, you know, these magazines or these little segments on Entertainment Tonight or, you know, Access Hollywood and they show the celebrity, you know, going to yoga or, you know, out in the gym or whatever, like, it looks like it's so easy for them and it looks like it's so much fun. But, like, for example, is it always fun for Britney? Is it always fun for Janet to get out there and get in shape? Because I think sometimes we're daunted by seeing these celebrities and think we can never do what they do.
Well, no, actually, you can't. Because for me, what I do is to make them enjoy it a little more. So I always like playing games with them, but I'm trying to use more resistant training with them. I call it the Martinez way. So we do full body function movements. by doing these exercises, you know, you activate more muscle fibers and more effective training. So for instance, you know, say, you know, one day you just want to do cardio. Well, try a little more high intensity cardio, 20, 30 minutes, instead of doing a slow, steady cardio, 45 minutes to an hour. That's the old way. Okay. This will help rev up your metabolism and burn more body fat. And also, you know, it helps build up, you know, with strength training, builds up a little more muscles in your, you know, arms, shoulder, back, new sections. So for instance, you know, maybe do a plank for 30 seconds, another side plank for your core, 30 seconds, a reverse crunch for your core. And this helps you just build strength in your core. And I always tell them at the same time, right after all that, is make sure that we eat, you know, anywhere between 5 to 6 small meals a day, you know, followed by that, you know, you'll have abs like, you know, celebrities like, you know, Jan, Brittany, Bing.
I think a lot of people would love to walk away with Janet abs. That is for sure. Tony, when it comes to, you know, the art of staying motivated, because I think, again, that's like a problem. What do you say to people to keep them like in the zone?
You know, in the zone. That's why I think I said it earlier, where you surround yourself around people that are high energy, that want the same goals as you do. If you have one person that just, you know, hey, I want to get in shape too, and the other person like, you know, I don't really want to do that much, maybe they might need motivation as well too, to get them going, to get them moving a little bit more, just to have fun, because you want them in that little group of yours, just to, you know, to be healthy, to live a lifestyle of active lifestyle.
How important is stretching, Tony? Because I know just in my own training, I've realized in the last probably 1.5 to 2 years, just how much I should have been working at it harder years ago. And it's really made a difference just in the last like year, like I said, of me working on my stretching. Like I would say half of my exercises now are stretching. But I think a lot of people are very dismissive of it. You know, now that we're speaking to you, you know, a fitness trainer, what do you have to say about stretching and its importance?
No, stretching is the number one key component, because they always think after they're done, I have no time. I have to go to, you know, pick up my kids, or I have to go to a meeting right afterwards, or I have to go to work. Stretching, regardless, I would rather cut the workout 5 minutes before you're done, so you can stretch 5 minutes right afterwards, just so that, you know, you can elongate the muscles. You don't want to create any soreness at all. And it helps, if anything, with the flexibility, it helps more blood flow through your whole body, so that you feel a lot better. So, you know, you feel rejuvenated.
And final question, Tony, with regards to people that, again, back to summer fitness, who, you know, might be joining that summer soccer league or, you know, ultimate frisbee, what kind of training should they be doing, you know, apart from the practices and the games? Because, again, I think over a certain age, you can't really just head out onto the field and then hope for the best that you're not going to pull something.
No, that's why it's best to do resistance training, you know, with bands, or you can do more functional body, full body function movements, just because that's the way to go right now. If just because you're using functional exercises, playing frisbee, so you're throwing the ball, so you're basically, or throwing the ball, throwing the frisbee, or playing soccer, using your legs, using the more legs, more squats. You want to just keep doing functional movements that you're doing for your specific sport, or if anything else, just, you know, just keep mixing it up. That's the one thing, so that you don't get bored. You know, and the other thing is, you know, don't always do the same thing over and over again. Always mix up your workout.
Fantastic. Tony, you're a rock star. We love having you on the show. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Kelly.
That's celebrity fitness trainer Tony Martinez. Again, make sure to check out his website, trainertonymartinez.com, and follow him on Twitter at @trainertony.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show. Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
She's a rising star in the Canadian music scene. Radio stations across the country have started playing her amazingly catchy song, Jackpot, and we are very happy to welcome her to the Kelly Alexander Show, Jocelyn Ellis.
Hi, Kelly.
I have to tell you right off the hop, I am obsessed with your song.
Oh my
and
God.
Normally I don't say that to, like, you know, singers, because I don't want to come like a weird person, but I am obsessed.
I like weird.
Okay, good.
I appreciate it.
No, really, like the first time I heard the song, we played it on our station here that I work for, Virgin Radio, and right away, super catchy.
Oh, thank you.
Did you know when you wrote it was going to be catchy? Like, did you feel it? Because I feel like that you had to know that was going to go.
Well, for me, when I first started playing it live, that's when I was like, okay, this is something really cool, because I, you know, I can tell that people are really reacting to it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think it was the first single. I really did not think that. And I'm really glad that I allowed people to listen to it before I released it, because mm-hmm. I realized, like, every single person I showed was like, no, that's your first song. So it's really cool.
Was it a long process to sort of get it to how you wanted it to sound? Or, because, like, I've read so many interviews with other artists and they say, like, you know, that song just came together in 10 minutes.
This was a long writing session.
Okay.
And I actually originally had a different chorus.
Okay.
And then went back and was like, this is not good enough. So I worked probably for like 20 hours on this song.
Wow. And then did you know when it was done? Like, did you have a feeling like, it's done, I've tweaked it enough, I'm good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It's just this calm. It's this, you know, like we've done everything that we should. Mm-hmm. And for me, like a big fear musically is to do too much.
Right.
Especially in studio. I feel like it's really easy to just want to sprinkle extra stuff on top.
Yeah.
And I think the greatest part about this song is the space speaks louder than the sounds.
Okay.
And that's what I think real music should be.
Has it surprised you how much people have taken to the song? Because it's really like blown up as far as I'm concerned.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. I'm signed to a publishing deal in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
So I really thought that maybe we might get some film TV stuff going on and that's okay. How it would generate some sales.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, it's been totally radio. And it's such a new world for me. It's so exciting. I love the radio and I'm so lucky to be a part of it.
Do you feel you're playing catch up a little bit with song? Because for example, I interviewed an artist a little while ago. Actually, maybe you know her, Crystal Waters. She was like a big 90s act.
What's her song?
100% Pure Love, Gypsy Woman. Anyway, she was really big in the 90s. She's a big club sort of woman now. And she, when she released a song in the early 90s, it went kaboom, like immediately. And then she felt like she was playing catch up. She was on tour trying to support the song and then trying to finish the album. Is that kind of what's going on with you?
Luckily, my album has been done for a few months.
Okay.
So I'm ready in terms of that. But in terms of like booking tours and now I've been across Canada on this radio tour,
mm-hmm.
you know, I definitely feel like I'm like, okay, we need to get a lot of stuff together. It's crunch time.
Wow.
So yeah. But I mean, I feel like this business is always kind of that way.
Mm-hmm.
You're always like, oh, like, okay. Right when you feel like you're like, okay, everything's okay. Like something happens and you're like under it again.
How important is it, the support of your team? Because right now we're sitting here and you've got a couple of peeps hanging around, some of your musicians.
Yes.
And I know like it's a lonely road being an independent artist, I would say.
Yeah.
So how important is having these people signed on to help you?
Oh my God. My team is everything. You know, if you think about if you're on tour and you're playing a gig a night,
mm-hmm.
you're playing for like, you know, less than 5% of that day. So you need to want to hang out with these people in your free time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lovely manager. I have a lovely radio tracker, my publishing company. It feels like family for me. And when I've gone through really hard times, I've noticed that the people around me become family.
Okay.
And that's way more important to me than business.
Now, talk to us about the album. You said it's ready to go. What can we expect? Like, is it going to be, is it a collection of songs, like a thematic, like?
It's very 90s.
Okay.
It's got some tinges of hip hop, soul, some ballads.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of different genres. My whole life, people were telling me, you need to pick a genre. You need to choose who you are. And I really struggled with that for years.
Mm-hmm.
And with this album, I just decided, you know what? I'm interested in all of these genres, so I'm going to do a different genre for every song. And it has a lot of tinges of different flavors. And I'm really excited because I feel like it's different, you know? And I feel like the album, a lot of people do it in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, for some reason, I don't see the world that way. You know, I'm like, why does it have to be this way when I feel it this way? You know, so it's going to be interesting to see what people think. It's definitely different.
How would you describe your sound? Like, do you have, cause like, you know, when you read these articles and like, this one sounds like this and that, and compared to this, and like, do you have a way that you would describe yourself, or are you sort of ever evolving?
I try to give them some artist references, even though I really don't like to.
Right.
I find people really want that.
Mm-hmm.
So Lorde and Amy Winehouse are the two that come up the most for
okay.
sure.
Okay.
And then I call myself soul pop hip hop.
Nice.
Because I don't know what else to call it.
I love it. So that's fine with me. Who would you say has influenced you growing up then? You mentioned 90s stuff, and I think a lot of us are kids of the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Who speaks to you the most from that era that maybe is translating into what you're doing today?
Oh man, Biggie, Missy Elliott, Amy Winehouse, Robin, Aaliyah. Oh man, there's so many. Anything that's soulful, mm-hmm. and is a little bit grimy and dirty,
okay.
and has space.
What do you feel about Missy Elliott and the fact that she, you know, did the Super Bowl with Katy Perry, and now it's like this resurgence with her? Do you feel like people should have realized that she never went anywhere and that she's still amazing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, she was really sick.
Right.
She was sick for like a decade or something.
Mm-hmm.
I admire her for stepping away and taking care of her health. And I think at the Super Bowl, the reason that hit so hard was because she's so healthy and vibrant. And
mm-hmm.
and I think it's probably because she took that break. And
mm-hmm.
I was just so stoked. I thought it was hilarious that all these kids were like, who's this new hip hop artist? And I'm like, guys, get your lives together.
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show is Jocelyn Alice. Make sure to check out her website, jocelynalice.com. Where do you want to go? Because, like, I, for example, interviewed Lady Gaga when she was just, like, going to hit.
Cool.
And she told me back in 2008, she's like, Kelly, she's like, I'm going to play stadiums. And she did.
Cool.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. Where does Jocelyn Alice want to be?
I want to be all over the world. I think at the core of what I do, I just want to share my music, mm-hmm. you know, and if that means that I have to travel for the rest of my life, I mm-hmm. will do that. But I think the root of me is songwriting. I will always be writing. I hope to write for other artists one day. I write for TV films sometimes. And mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm going to play stadiums as well. For
awesome.
Sure.
Talk to us about the writing for TV stuff, because in a way, I think people don't realize how important that can be to keep you not living out of your car.
Yeah, that's how I've made most of my money in the okay. industry, for sure.
Okay.
You know, I think it's a hard world to break into initially, mm-hmm. but once you kind of know how it works and who to talk to and who fits your sound, mm-hmm. it's such a huge opportunity to not only get your music out, but also make some money and feed yourself, you know?
You know, I introduced you as a Canadian artist. Obviously, mm-hmm. you've done time in Los Angeles. Is it important for you to, like, break big here in Canada first? Like, and be embraced by your home country, or mm. like, do you really care where it starts?
I really wanted it to start in Canada.
Okay.
I actually initially focused on Calgary. I'm from Calgary. Mm-hmm. And I told myself, you know, I'm going to give myself X amount of years to build it here. And yeah. when I feel like I've done that, I'm going to yeah. leave and I'm going to build it somewhere else okay. in Canada.
Okay.
And I just moved to Toronto in February, and it came to a point in Calgary where I'm pretty sure most people that lived there had seen me live okay. and walking down the street was an exciting thing, because I always would know people and they would have heard me, and it was really great. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And yeah, to be hitting Canada first is, I mean, I love my country.
Awesome.
I love it here.
What do you think of the current state of Canadian music? Because, for example, you know, I would say, like, back in 2006, 2007, not that great. Mm. And then all of a sudden it started to, like, psht, especially I would say in pop town, because we've always yeah. been, like, strong, I would say, with rock groups like the Nickelbacks of the world and Headleys and all that sort of stuff. But like Kaiza, you know,
yeah.
like,
killing it,
you know.
Oh my god.
And some of these other young ones that are sort of starting to do their thing, like, how do you feel about where we are in the pop realm in Canada?
Oh man, The Weeknd, mm-hmm. Tegan and Sarah, mm-hmm. like, I'm Carly Rae Jepsen, like, I'm really, really excited to see the next few years. And, like, I can honestly say that some of my favorite artists right now are Canadian.
Nice.
And that's cool.
Awesome. Do you want to get on Ellen? Because I feel you should be.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah. Okay. Because I feel you would fit well on the Ellen Show.
Oh my God! Can you hook it up? Do you know her?
I know, but I hope so. And we're gonna put it out in the universe. We're gonna put it out in the universe.
I just want to take Ellen in my arms.
Nice.
And I want to hold her like a baby.
Nice.
And when she tries to leave my arms, I want to hold her there longer than she wants to be there.
Do you not feel like she would just flip over jackpot? Like, I feel like she would lose her mind.
Oh my
like,
God, that would be so crazy. I'm manifesting it hard right now.
Okay,
can you
good.
Feel that?
Well, you know who you need to speak to is you need to get hooked up. Do you know Kaiza? Have you met her yet?
I've seen her at a few okay. events and okay. stuff, but I do not know her.
Ellen is like buddies with her now, and she's been on her show twice. So I feel like you should talk to Kaiza.
I can't do that. I can't do that, okay? You talk to Kaiza for me and get back to me, okay? I can't do that.
I will definitely do that. Before I let you go, what do you want fans and new fans to know about Jocelyn Alice?
That I hope I can make a difference and inspire some people. And if that's all I do, then I'm happy.
Fantastic. You are a rock star. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Jocelyn Alice joining us here on the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, this is Jocelyn Alice, and you're listening to my song Jackpot on the Kelly Alexander Show.
Anymore. Don't wanna go, don't wanna go. hot. We be winning like the cash gon' rain. We be winning, we gon' do it again. Jackpot. We be winning like the pot got hot. We be winning like the cash gon' rain. Gon' do it again, gon' do it again, gon' do it again. All that I think about day and night is having you in my survival. I'ma hit the jackpot. Having you, jackpot.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show. Follow us on Twitter at @KAlexanderShow.
We're happy to welcome our next guest to the Kelly Alexander Show. Michelle Dennehy is VP and Chief Privacy Officer of the online security powerhouse McAfee. We're excited to talk to Michelle about how important personal online security is to you in this day and age. Michelle, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much.
When I found out you were coming, I was so excited to speak with you because I think people don't understand how important this is, especially when they sign up to social media. Like, it just feels like, I'm going to tell them everything. What do you say to someone who just signs up, like, carte blanche?
It's incredible to me. It's such a powerful tool. It's like basically like we're flipping our car keys to our kids and saying, oh, go drive. We're not going to talk about the rules. We're not going to talk about the dangers. We're just going to let you go. So it's really interesting. I have a 13-year-old at home.
Okay.
I embarrass her all the time. I said to her, you know, I live in California, so people wear the little Daisy Duke shorts and the bikini tops, and they take pictures of themselves.
Yes.
And they put themselves online. So I asked her, I said, you know, I call her Ms. Thing online.
Yes, I saw that. I think that's so cool.
She's got her own little name. So I said, Ms. Thing, what do you think about this? And that's when she said, do I really want some old man with his hand on his pants looking at me? And I said, thank you. You are not sharing that photograph with your friends.
Yeah.
You're not sharing it with like other like-minded 13-year-olds. You're sharing it with everyone.
Right.
So I think a little ounce of education mm-hmm. allows people to share safely. Because what I don't want, especially parents, to hear mm-hmm. is that you should be shying away from social media. I have real-life friends that I never get to see, mm-hmm. but I'm up to date with them. And I have real business colleagues that I've met on Twitter. And all sorts of different, I mean, there are benefits
yep.
to being online, but you really have to look at it as the powerful medium that it is.
What do you say to the young adult, like 18, 19, 20, 21, who is posting stuff, whether it might be, you know, it might be serious stuff, but it might be also, like we talked about, like revealing photographs, and then about how that could play into their career later?
Yeah, oh, it's incredible. We, you know, it's interesting because I think as a younger person, oftentimes what you think is, well, if they don't want to hire me as I am, well, then they're not the right company for me. And then suddenly you have a mortgage, and
right.
it's just a bummer.
Yeah, true.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
So I think there's a couple things. I don't think that you can ask a 20-year-old to think like a 40-year-old. That's
right.
simply not possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what you can do instead is really appeal to where they are at the time and say to them, you know, every time I go into a high school, for example, I say to them, all right, everyone, who pooped today? And they look at me like, oh my God, poop? She can't talk about poop, and I don't poop. Well, it turns out everybody who's alive has done it.
Yes.
And if you're not doing it daily, then you're doing something wrong.
Yes.
But to them, that feeling of like dread and exposure and embarrassment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's when I say, listen, when I see you with that red Dixie cup, obviously full of something other than punch.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. So kind of bring it back to them emotionally and mm-hmm. say, think about your platform. There's so many great ways to disclose things to whom you want these days.
Yeah.
The good news is the younger the person is, the more nimble they are. Once it was revealed that Snapchat was saving everybody's photos and they were accessible, people got off of that.
Right.
They just moved on because mm-hmm. that platform was a lie.
Right.
So I think that's the good news, is that once particularly younger people understand the longevity of information, mm-hmm. the visceral power and emotional turnoff
yeah.
of being instantly discriminated against because of something you posted 10 years ago, I think we'll start to get that message through.
What do you say to Joe or Jane Public who says, well, I deleted my account, so everything's gone?
Well, oh, I say, darling, darling, darling. Welcome to this century. It's like the internet really is forever.
Right.
And you can't really, I've heard so many people, usually on Facebook, say that they've gone off the grid, which I find deeply ironic and sort of sad.
Yeah.
I think what people have to realize is the world has changed a bit.
Yeah.
We have a recordation of even the dumbest thoughts.
Yeah.
Now, so it's not don't have dumb thoughts, but it really is be thoughtful and really focus more on ethics than you ever have before.
Okay.
Because we knew in the real world what the consequences are. If I slap you in the face, it's going to be a little difficult to face you at school next week.
Mm-hmm.
But online, we see each other, and this isn't for the kids. Any news story, the remarks, the comments are just, they're not pertinent to the information, and they're nasty. So thinking about ethics in a whole new way and creating a new kind of culture in that younger idealistic kind of self that you once were and that these people are growing up into, I think that's a good way forward.
I wanted to ask you what the significance of September 11, 2001 is to you.
So huge. So huge. So so many things were going on in my life. So my house had burned down, so I had no stuff. I had just given birth within the week to my first daughter, so I was a new mother and hormonally challenged. Probably still am. She'll probably tell you. I had booked my own mother on flight 93 from Newark, and I had just taken her off the flight the day before because my daughter came late. And I said, Mom, you know, I just want a couple extra days at home, and she would have been on that flight.
Oh my God.
So it was a horrendous day for me emotionally, as it was for the world. I mean, it was just a shocking day.
Yeah.
But what I found was in that day of really quiet focus, you know, with a 60-year-old baby in my lap, you really feel like down to essentials of what's important right now. Like, what would I preserve?
Mm-hmm.
And all I could think of is her dignity. There were people that were saying, let's just take everyone's information and we know what's better and we'll tag people and these Arabs are terrible. And I thought, oh my God, it's the Holocaust starting all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we really became dedicated to making privacy not just an ethic, not just a legal policy, but making it live. That's when we started building hardware to separate information and really focusing on encryption technologies and security to prevent people from getting access to it. And, you know, it's only been 13 years since that horrible morning, but I think the challenge is greater than ever before.
I have to ask you about Twitter with regards to, and I'm sure other social media platforms, but I hear it a lot with ISIS and with Al-Qaeda recruiting. Like, to me, it's so, I know I shouldn't be shocked, but I'm shocked. Like, I'm like, how does Twitter make this happen? Like, I know it's not them making it happen, but they're allowing the platform to make it happen.
Yeah, any communication vehicle is gonna be used to communicate. And I think this is where I think culture and ethics and decision-making of what's good and what's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think the initial wave of platforms, all the ISPs are in this, and the same was true of the phone company. So I look at what happened to the Edison company when they first started getting the ubiquity of phones in everybody's homes,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly people found out about domestic abuse.
Wow.
And suddenly people found out about people starving to death, you know, during the Dust Bowl. Communications helped some of these things come to light,
mm-hmm.
but they also recruit people. And they also allow people who feel disenfranchised to find a community. So the best way, I think, to fight that kind of community and that kind of platforming is to make sure that there's enough opportunity for those people to find any other healthy mode of getting their anger out. You know, I would like to see any ISIS fighter write a poem or play or song or have those that allowability of art.
Mm-hmm.
In Baghdad, when Baghdad first fell, what they found was that the museums were being raided. The very older people realized that this was the center of civilization. The people who had been alive just during the last 30 years had never been exposed to art.
Okay.
So all they looked at it was an asset that could be plundered. When we give access to communities, whether it's through Twitter, and we start to see people amassing saying, hey, lonely girl, what if I gave you a husband in ISIS?
Right.
And allowed you to be treated like a slave so you don't have to make decisions anymore?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where we react as a culture. We put out good content, we allow the platforms to keep going, and then we decide what is not acceptable behavior or when it's getting scary enough that we want someone else to intervene. And I don't know what that looks like yet, but I don't think it is take away the communications platform. I think we build back up good communication.
Now, before I let you go, what do you want someone listening right now to take away from what you guys do at like McAfee? Because I feel like, you know, I was funny when I told them, I was a couple of my friends I was coming to speak to you today, they're like, oh yeah, I have that on my computer. But it's like they don't think about it. It's like, yeah, it's like it's doing its job. But I feel like, I think we as a people need to think differently about what these products are doing and how it's helping or not helping.
Absolutely. So I love when I hear that the technology is not getting in your way.
Right. Yeah.
Because a lot of people disable it if they think that it is. So that's good.
Yeah.
The downside is you don't really know that it's helping you either.
Right.
And so I think what you need to do is think about your security in every aspect. So just because it's on your laptop, if you're spending all your time on your smartphone, the laptop McAfee product is not helping it.
Okay.
So figure out, what do you have a mobility strategy? Do you have a storage strategy? Think about a comprehensive security platform and strategy for yourself.
Okay, perfect. Michelle, thank you
thank you so much.
And if people want to learn more about you, where can they can do that?
Well, you can always go on Twitter, at MDenity on Twitter.
Okay.
That's probably the best way to go.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Listen anytime, anyplace. KellyAlexanderShow.com.
Thank you so much for spending time with us on the show this week. We always appreciate it. And a big shout out to my guests, Alec Baldwin, Tamia, Tony Martinez, Jocelyn Alice, and Michelle Dennity. Here is your thought-provoking quote of the week, this time coming from Steve Case. You have to get along with people, but you also have to recognize that the strength of a team is different people with different perspectives and different personalities. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media, on Twitter at Kay Alexander Show, on Facebook, Kelly Alexander Show, on Instagram at Kelly Alexander Show, and of course our YouTube channel, which features our interviews, youtube.com/Kelly Alexander Show. If you have any comments or questions, drop me a line, Kelly at KellyAlexanderShow.com. Have an awesome week. You and I will chat soon.